Good morning. We got some folks that are visiting with us today that are our honored guests. I saw a whole row back there, and I've not had a chance to meet you yet, so I apologize for that. But we welcome you and everyone else that is visiting with us today. Some of you are here today because you are friends and family of the Jennings family, and we welcome you and we're thankful that you're here. Not surprising that there would be many here today because of that, because this family was so beloved, is so beloved to us. And today we invite you to be back here at 2 o'clock this afternoon, if you're able to be, to lend your support and care and comfort of presence to the Jennings family as we remember and celebrate the life of Fran Jennings, and as we try to provide some comfort to the family. That memorial service will be here at 2 o'clock, visitation prior from 1 to 2, and so we want to make sure that you know about that. So this morning we're going to continue a series of lessons that we started 2 weeks ago. Last week I pushed this lesson because we had such a marvelous assembly that I felt like everything needed to be centered around those two fathers baptizing their children into Christ. And it was a wonderful time on Father's Day to celebrate that. And so we did something a little different last week with the sermon time to be in alignment with that. And so I decided to push this lesson till today. But part number one was 2 weeks ago. This series is called Questions for Jesus. If you could ask Jesus just one question, what would it be? No doubt many of us would have lots of different questions for him. But in this series, we're going to look at times in the Gospels when people came to Jesus with a question. And we'll see how he responds to the question. And we may just find some surprising answers that he gives. In part number one, we explored the question that Pilate had for Jesus, and that was this question: what is truth? And we found that in Jesus' response to that answer, that really truth is not a set of rules. Truth is Jesus himself. Now, if you heard that sermon, if you didn't, you can go online and listen to it from 2 weeks ago. But if you heard that sermon, you might think to yourself in response to that, wait just 1 minute. If truth is not a set of rules, but it's Jesus himself, doesn't that de-emphasize the Bible? I mean, doesn't that kind of push to the side what Scripture says? That just sounds too ambiguous. It sounds too theoretical. It seems to blur the lines between right and wrong. I mean, that kind of sounds like the spirit of our age, subjective, postmodern, wishy-washy kind of thinking and speaking, doesn't it? Doesn't that ignore the fact that Jesus said to his Father in prayer, "Your word is truth"? Aren't you dismantling or demolishing the importance of the Scriptures? Aren't you de-emphasizing the Bible's authority? Whenever you say truth is not a set of rules, but truth is Jesus himself, well, that sounds like a question for Jesus to me. During Jesus' day, there were a group of people called the scribes, another group of people called the Pharisees, and they were masters at keeping rules. The scribes, well, they were the professional students of the law, the PhDs, the seminary professors of the Scripture, if you will. The Pharisees, they were the ones that devoted their lives to meticulous practice of the law. What did Jesus have to say about people like the scribes and the Pharisees? Here's what he said. You search the Scriptures because in them you think you have life. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees thought, and I'm afraid too many of us today think, that Bible study and rule keeping is the way, the truth, and the life. But listen to what Jesus said again now in John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40. Jesus said these words, "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think in them you have eternal life." But then listen to what Jesus has to say about it. "These are the very Scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." The Scripture merely points to Jesus. Jesus Himself is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and verse number 6. Now, it's that kind of talk right there that you see on the screen that put Jesus in direct conflict with the religious leaders of His day. And as a result, some of them started, it seems, to spread a false rumor about Jesus. You know what that rumor was? It was this rumor. This Jesus who's attracting such large crowds and teaching these things, you know what He's really doing? Here's the rumor. He is trying to demolish the Scriptures. In fact, that rumor seems to have been so prevalent that after Jesus' death, one of His followers was accused of the following in Acts chapter 7, a man by the name of Stephen. Listen to what they accused him of. "This fellow never stops speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us." So the question that's being raised then in Jesus' day, the question that the scribes and the Pharisees had that were at conflict with what Jesus would say right here, that are spreading this rumor about Jesus, the real question that they're raising before Him is this: did you come to demolish the Scriptures? Are you saying that God's law doesn't matter? Are you saying that rules are out the window? And so Jesus answers that question in our text this morning. This is Matthew chapter 5. This is where we're going to focus in today. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Look at it carefully with me, would you? "Do not think..." See, some were thinking this, apparently. Some were raising this question, and Jesus addresses it. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." It seemed to some people in Jesus' day that He was setting Himself against the written Word of God, as if He is trying to demolish scriptural authority. That's the perception that some people had of Jesus. But Jesus is very clear in these verses that no detail of the law will be set aside as long as heaven and earth stand. Now, if you notice, if I go back a slide here, when he says that, I tell you that heaven and earth won't disappear until the smallest letter, the least of the stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law. Jesus is using a figure of speech in his day that would be equal to a more familiar figure of speech that we would use. It's like this. Jesus is saying this: I did not come to destroy the law. I didn't come for that. In fact, I'll tell you this. Not a bit of the law or any of God's rules will ever be done away with, not over my dead body. That's another way of saying it. Or, not until hell freezes over. Heaven and earth are going to stand. And I'm not come to demolish it. But then he says, there is coming a time when everything will be accomplished. And clearly he's saying, I did not come to blow this thing up. In fact, yours truly, Jesus would say, the Word of God in human flesh, the Word among us, I came and I am the culmination of all of the law. I am the person to which all of the law was flowing, and I am the natural fulfillment of all of it. In other words, Jesus is saying a time is coming when the law will be set aside, when it comes to the point of fulfilling its intended goal. And its intended goal was to fully reveal God, not in words on a page, but in the living, breathing presence of Jesus Christ Himself. So Scripture, you see, points to the truth. And the truth is Jesus Himself. The law, or religious rules, are a shadow of the real thing. And the real thing is Jesus. Jesus says, look, I didn't come to demolish the Scriptures. I came to do what they were saying all along and be the ultimate fulfillment of all of it. I came to complete the Scriptures. So, now notice in verse number 20, Jesus says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is pretty clear here, isn't he? He says that if you or I are going to be a part of God's kingdom, our righteousness must surpass the righteousness that the scribes and the teachers of the law practiced. Now, at first read, you think to yourself, well, that's completely impossible, because if they were the professionals at law keeping, they excelled at keeping the rules. What chance do I have if I have to do better than they did? But notice what Jesus is dealing with here is not competing with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, rather practicing an entire different approach toward righteousness. They were trying to achieve righteousness through their rule-keeping, through adherence to the law. And Jesus is talking about a better kind of righteousness that is better than the old type of law-keeping or a rule-following approach. Disciples of Jesus, followers of what Jesus is teaching here, guess what? Like our Savior, we delight in and learn from every word that God has spoken. It is our food. You see, the righteous person, like Jesus in the wilderness being tempted in the previous chapter, Jesus knew we can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Disciples of Jesus follow in Jesus' steps, and we delight in and we find nourishment from every word that God has ever spoken. But here's the kicker. more than just learning from and delighting in every word God has spoken, Jesus is challenging you and me to see underneath the words to God's purpose and God's heart. You see, Jesus shows you and me that He is the truth, the thing to which all the law was headed. He is the ultimate fulfillment of it, which means what? That sounds like so theoretical. It's like, what is that? What are you talking about? What does that mean? It means this. It means that if you want to know truth, you look to Jesus. Because Jesus demonstrates to us everything that was underlying all of the law and the prophets, all of the rules that were ever commanded. You want to really see what they were getting at? You really want to understand the point? Look to Jesus, because Jesus demonstrates to us the purposes of God and the true heart of God that underlied all of the rules and all of the law. You see, the problem with rule keeping is that you can keep the rules and be blinded to the heart of God. I mean, how many times did Jesus have major conflict with the religious leaders of his day over the issue of the Sabbath? Because they were so concerned that we meticulously keep the Sabbath. You keep it holy, you never do anything on the Sabbath, and over again, Jesus is doing things that is agitating the rule. And they can't understand it. Why? Because they're so transfixed on keeping the rule, they have missed the heart of God. And so Jesus will say things like, listen, Sabbath was made for you, to help you. God knew you needed to rest. He knew you needed to reconnect and wind down and refocus and recalibrate your spirit to be in line with Him. He knew that if you left yourself, you'd work yourself to death. And so He said to you, He made a command out of it, one of the Ten Commandments. You need to keep the Sabbath day holy. But Jesus says, look, don't miss the point. Don't miss the purpose of God. Don't miss the heart of God. Don't be so robotic in keeping the rule that you miss the fact that the Sabbath was made for you. You weren't made for it. And then you know, they get all over Jesus because Jesus is doing good on the Sabbath day. He's healing broken people on the Sabbath day. And they're upset that Jesus is breaking the rule. You fixed yourself on the rule, and you miss the truth of God, God's heart and God's purpose. And that is, it is always right to do good on the Sabbath, to help the hurting, to bind up the broken. It's always right. You see, rules and laws are for a purpose. And they're needed. Let me tell you why. Rules and law are for spiritual infants. Children need rules because they're not at a place, and I'm talking about spiritual children. If we're infantile in our spiritual walk, we need more direct guidance. But God wants you and me to grow up beyond that. As Paul makes so clear in Galatians 3, the law was for a purpose. It was like a tutor or a schoolmaster to bring us to a point of faith. And when we come to a point of faith, there is no longer a need for the schoolmaster. No longer a need for the rules and the law. Why? Because you've gotten to a place of maturity that no longer are you a slave. No longer are you an infant child. But instead, you have come into your own as an heir of God, a son, a daughter of the King that has a heart that beats for Him. And you're trying to always seek more than just compliance to a rule. You're trying to seek the heart of God and see underneath it to its purpose of what God's trying to do to change you to be like Him. So you see, children need rules, slaves need rules, but God wants us to be sons and daughters. You see, we've got to see beyond the dim reflection of the rules to the brightness of the truth of God itself that shines forth from underneath the rules to the very character and the nature of who God is and who He wants us to be, which is like Him. Now, Jesus is really clear about this, if you keep reading this sermon, these verses that we just looked at, if you keep reading, what you're going to find is that Jesus is going to illustrate this point over and over again. And he's illustrating the point that pursuing truth is not about just following the rules. It is about pursuing God. It is about pursuing Jesus. Jesus himself is the completion of the scripture, so if we're pursuing truth, it's not just about following the rules, it is about following the heartbeat of God. So, let me give you an example. Jesus gives many. Jesus says, okay, you want to talk about rules? God had a rule. Don't murder. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Jesus says, look, don't just follow the rule. Truth is not about the rules. It's about the heart and purpose of God. There was a rule, don't murder. Jesus says, look underneath the rule. Look to the purpose of God. Look to the heart of God. You heard the command, don't commit murder. He said, I say to you, you should not have hate in your heart. And if you look even further underneath that, what's he getting at? Not just don't break the rule, but pursue the heart of God. And the heart of God is a heart of love. So it's not just about don't murder. He says don't hate. In fact, you want to take it a little bit further? Be like God and love people like God loves people. Or, you heard it was said, there was a command, there was a rule, don't commit adultery. Okay, look underneath the rule. Don't have lust in your heart. In fact, look even a little deeper. Be like God. What does that mean? Be the kind of person who is faithful to your covenant commitments. You make a covenant commitment to another person to be with them for life or to stick by them through thick and thin. Be like God and be faithful to your promises. Let your yes be a yes. You heard it was said, there was a law, you shouldn't swear. Jesus says, look beyond it now, look underneath the rule. Truth is not about the rule. Truth is about the heart of God underneath it. So it's Jesus himself, it's God himself. You've heard the command, don't swear. Look underneath it now. You shouldn't even take an oath. Be a person of your word. Be like God and be truthful to all people. In fact, you heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I'm saying, look underneath all that and say, you know what? I should not resist evil. Because you know what? This world is full of all kinds of situations and circumstances where God causes the rain to fall on both the just and the unjust. And so what should I do? I should be like God and be a person of generosity. Indiscriminately toward all people. You see, truth is not about following the rules. It's about looking underneath the rules to the heart and purpose of God. Because truth is God. Truth is Jesus. Who he is. The very nature and character of who God is. That's what God's trying to get us to see. In fact, the chapter ends in verse 48. In this verse that if you understand this context, suddenly makes a lot more sense. When Jesus says, be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's the conclusion to everything he's been saying. Is he saying that in order to be right with God, I have to somehow achieve some level of perfection? No, you missed the point. He's saying simply this. Seek God's character. Seek God's heart in your life. Look behind the rules to the truth itself. That the truth is God. In his beautiful nature, character, and perfection of holiness. Look to the nature of who God is and seek that in your life. Jesus functionally completed and ended the law. The law is no more in the life of the Christian. Now, you say, wait a minute now. Does that mean that we're free to live any way we want to live? Absolutely not. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 21. I myself, Paul says, am not under law, but I'm under Christ's law. Wait a minute, did you just contradict yourself? Not at all. What's he saying? He's essentially saying this. I'm no longer under the rules. I'm no longer under law. I've been released from that. Released for that for what? For sinful living? No. Released to see the point behind all of it, which was Jesus himself. To see underneath it to the character and nature and the heart of God. That's the law of Christ. To love like he loved. To be like he was. To seek the heartbeat of God himself. Let me see if I can illustrate it. God gave me an illustration that I want to share with you from life itself. So I was thinking about this. I want you to imagine for just a second. So imagine as a parent that you give your son a rule. Okay, here's the rule. The rule is, all right, son, before you can, when you get up in the morning, when you wake up, before you can turn on the television and watch television for a few minutes, the first thing you got to do is make sure that you take the dog out. That's the rule. And you lay down the law. And he gets it. He's compliant. And morning after morning, before he dares turn on the television, he obediently takes the dog out. And then one morning, his sister wakes up before he does. And she goes in and turns on the television because the rule wasn't given to her, so she turns on the television. And so when he wakes up, he goes in, sits down beside her, and starts watching television. And then you as a parent get up and you ask your son, have you taken the dog out? No. Why didn't you take the dog out? The rule is you can't watch television before you take the dog out. You can't turn on the television before you take the dog out. To which he objects and he says, no, the rule was that I couldn't turn on the TV until the dog was out. I didn't turn on the TV. She did. So therefore, I didn't have to take the dog out. It's like, oh, he got me on a technicality. No, he didn't. He became, and we're all like that. We become so fixed on the rule that we miss the heart of our parent. And the heart of the parent in this illustration is you're trying to teach love and compassion and care that you take care of your animal. That you make sure that the animal's need is taken care of. And you're trying to develop a heart for that. And so, sometimes in our relationship with God, we can think we're pleasing God by dutifully following the rules. And God's like the parent in the illustration, and he's shaking his head and saying, well, yeah, you kind of followed the rules, but you kind of missed the point. You didn't get the point of what was underneath the rule. You were seeking being a rule keeper instead of seeking a relationship with me. And if you're not seeking a relationship with God, then all the rules are completely null and void. They're pointless. You don't even need them, because they're all pointing to him. There was a preacher, I read this quote recently. It was a very famous preacher for decades in Great Britain, Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones. And he used to say this: I spend half of my time telling Christians to study doctrine, and the other half of my time telling them, doctrine is not enough. And I think that's exactly it. Do we need the Bible? Yes. Do we need Scripture? Yes. Do we need to diligently study it? Yes. But the question is, why? Not in and of itself, but to look beyond the whole reason it's given to the truth underneath it, which is Jesus himself, the character, the nature, the heart of God. So those that are in the kingdom, what does it mean to be in the kingdom? It means that you have chosen to surrender yourself, submit yourself to God's rule in your life. So as people who are in the kingdom, we must, brothers and sisters, move beyond a mere literal observance of rules, no matter how good or scriptural that may be, to a new consciousness of what it means to live a life that seeks to please God, seeking His character and His heart in your life. We got to look beneath the surface of the rules to the real substance and essence of Jesus, who is the truth, who is the way, and who gives life. So don't miss the point of the Scriptures. Don't miss the function of law and rules. They're all pointing us to the truth. Yes, they are. They're all pointing us to Jesus. So seeking truth and being a truth seeker is not about knowing all the right answers and knowing all the right rules. Knowing truth is about knowing Christ. And so this morning I ask you, do you know Him? It's one thing to know about Him. It's another thing entirely to know Him personally. If you want to, if you're thinking to yourself, well, I got a question for Jesus. How can I come to know You personally? That's a question that I'd like to share the answer to from the words of Jesus Himself. And so if you have that question and you want to know how you can come to deeply know and have a personal walk with Christ and come to know He who is the truth, then I would love to talk more with you. You can speak with me in the foyer. We'll set up a time at your convenience, at the place of your choosing, to just open the Scripture, let you ask any honest question that you want to ask. Nothing's off limits. Nothing's off the table. And then we'll just look to Scripture together, and we'll try to learn together and find the answers that Jesus gives. Maybe you're ready to give your life totally to Christ and be born again in water and the Spirit. Let's talk more about that too, if that's your need, if that's your desire, if you're ready, if you've not done it. Maybe you need prayers of encouragement. We can do that too. We can do it in here, or you can do it with our shepherds privately in the library. If we can help you in any way, come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.